Father God, we thank you so much for this body of believers that have joined together this morning to do nothing but to honor you. God, I pray that we not limit our lives being honoring to you on just a Sunday morning as we meet together. Lord, that it would, as the song just said and as we sing together, that it would be our deepest heart's desire to honor you with every ounce of energy and every ounce of strength and every cell in our body. To do and to live obedient to your word. That we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, and all our strength. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord God, I pray that you place that desire in hearts this morning that's never been there. We would see the importance of the outward demonstration of your submission and your sacrifice, and your suffering, and your servanthood. God, I pray that we would be forever changed. If we look at your word, speak to our hearts, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to change us, to mold us into who you, Lord Jesus, died for us to be. We give you all the praise for what you're going to do as we preach your word and as we hear your word. Lord, may it increase the faith of those who hear it this morning. May it draw the sinner out of darkness toward repentance. May they receive eternal life and forgiveness this morning. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. All God's people said, amen. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me this morning as we're going to continue looking at the group of strangers that Peter defined for us way back when we started this several weeks ago. How many of you have come to the conclusion, I am a stranger? Hasn't it opened our eyes to, man, we look at the world and the world calls right wrong and wrong right, and we shake our head and we can't figure it out. And of course we say, man, if it was up to me, if I was running this show, we'd do things a lot differently, wouldn't we? There would be a little more God, a little more love, right? A lot less real hate, not the liberal idea of hate, right? The liberals think if you don't like immorality, well, you hate people. That's not true. I don't like immorality because God hates immorality. I'm supposed to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates because I'm one of His children. Here's the thing, I'm walking through this world as a total stranger. This is not my home, this is not my place, my citizenship is no longer here. The thing is, as we look at this, I want you to understand, though, as we are here, we have some responsibilities. There's a lot of fanatical groups in Christianity who think because they are strangers and they are Christians that they don't have to abide by the rules of this country and the rules of this state, the rules of the local authority. And what we're going to look at today and talk about is the fact that even though we are strangers in this world, we should have a response to worldly authority that reflects Christ's response to worldly authority. How many of you know this? Christ was mocked unjustly. He was charged unjustly. He was sentenced unjustly, tried unjustly, crucified unjustly. How many of you understand that? All while keeping his mouth shut and acting in a way that would bring glory to God. So as we look at this, I want you to see something. I already informed all of our redneck gun toters outside. Some of you are going to get mad at me because you got t-shirts and flags in your redneck man cave. Let's say, yeah, they'll take my guns when they pry them from my cold, dead hand. Listen, that's my flesh. I feel the same way. But what I am, I'm called to a higher standard. And the higher standard is this. Guess what? If they come, we're going to see what God's Word says about it. How about that? Not what Kirk thinks about it, because what Kirk thinks about it, I'm that guy who gets in the flesh and says, you ain't taking my stuff. But let's look at this. He's going to speak to us, those of us who are strangers here. He's going to give us some advice, and he's going to give us some encouragement on how we ought to behave in the face of worldly authority. How many of you understand every authority that's in this earth was placed here by God? You listen to me? I know what you think. You think you voted Trump into office. Let me tell you this. God put Trump into office. He just used you to get him there. Are you listening? Because what happened before, all you non-liberal people wanted to blame the liberals for everything because their person was in office. Right? Can I tell you this? God's purpose, person will always be in office. It's up to you to vote your convictions. It's up to you to vote the Word of God, and you are just a tool in the hand of a sovereign God. He will place the authorities that He wants in authority over us where He wants them. And He decides. And I know what some of you think. Well, I just can't believe that God would let an evil ruler. Hey, He always gives you what you want, even if it's not what He wants. You listening? I told you last week. I told you several weeks ago. Explained it to you. Israel wanted a king. God didn't want Israel to have a king, but they kept on and kept on and kept on. He gave them one, didn't He? Huh? Some of you, you're so concerned with things, all you want is things. You use God to try to get things. You know what? He'll probably give them to you if you keep on and keep on and keep on, but let me tell you this, they could be very dangerous once you get them. So as we look at this, I want you to see the authorities that have been placed over you. That guy with the badge that walks up with the flashing lights. Watch this. Even if you were doing 66 and a 65. I love that one. Man, that jerk pulled me over and I was only doing 67. What was the speed limit? 65. So I reply, you know those aren't just speed suggestions. Those are limits set here by the authority that God has placed over you. Let me help you out. They've done research behind this. I promise you, there's no one who says, you know what, we're going to set speed limits to make people's lives miserable. How many of you ever played football? How many of you were ever slow like me and played football? Speed kills, huh? Right, where you got the angle on that guy, you think? Is that better? Oh, yeah. You got a green light and it's not beeping. That's good. I've never had a beep before. So, I thought it was one of you guys. Your cell phone. About to say, do y'all not read all the messages we put up there? So, I've said all that to say this. There's authorities that have been placed over us. And here's the thing. Because you're a stranger in this world and because you know that your eternal destination is heaven, it doesn't give you an excuse to think that you're above the law or above the authority or above the government. Okay, watch what the Word of God teaches us so that we can understand this. I want to teach you something this morning, okay? This isn't going to be one of those messages probably. It might be where I break my pulpit like last week because I hit my hand on it. This week might be a little more tame, but I can't promise you anything. Let's read first because sometimes I get fired up. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Please underline that. For the Lord's sake. Man, I wish we would think about that statement every day before our feet hit the ground. For the Lord's sake. Not for what you want or what you desire, or your plans, your goals, your dreams, etc., but for the Lord's sake. He said, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority. This is verse 13, chapter 2. He says, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. Please underline that. For the Christians who think it's cool to go blow up abortion clinics and that's a good way to protest, right? Oh, we have to do that because, let me tell you, God's never going to lead you to do that, okay? Because it defies what the law says, and the law says, don't blow people up, okay? For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Here, understand this before we go any further. When people are ignorant in their talking, i.e. politicians, people in authority, just let the ignorant be ignorant and pray for them. Okay? Let the ignorant be ignorant and pray for them. You're not going to convince them to be no longer ignorant. How many of you were ever in ignorance and you thought you knew something? Right? You're in ignorance and you thought you knew something. Nobody's going to talk you out of it. But eventually, God showed you a different way, and you saw, wow, my eyes have been opened. Man, I was ignorant all that time. But if somebody else would have told you you were ignorant, you would have got offended by it. He said, it's just ignorant talk. and they're foolish men. Verse 16, he says, live as free men. We have freedom in Christ. Man, that's an awesome thing. I'm not bound by this system at all any longer. Aren't you glad? I have hope that is beyond what I see around me. You know, when somebody gets elected to office, okay, I voted my convictions. I voted for a person that I believed it had conviction in the Word of God. That's it. Whatever happens after that point, guess what? I can't really do anything to change it one way or the other. It says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. He's telling you all these things, and we're going to come back and we're going to hit them because it's exactly how Jesus lived. Show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. That means don't go start a riot because you disagree with that group. Okay? Here's the thing. If you disagree with them and they spit in your face, the response from a Christian ought to be to keep on walking, to keep your mouth shut, and to pray. I know it's tough because that's not my natural response, right? I don't have to tell you what you probably already know. My natural response would be the same as yours. He says, show proper respect to everyone. Well, they didn't respect me. He didn't say to everyone who respects you. He didn't say to everyone who treats you right. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Watch this. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, we don't have a king. But let me tell you something. If the president of the United States walked in this room today, you should stand and honor him, and I don't care what affiliation that you're a part of. Why? Because God's Word said, when we raise, this is for Colin Kaepernick, when we raise that flag at a ball game, God has put that governmental authority over us. We ought to take our hats off and put them over our heart, and there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't make us less of a Christian. We're doing what the Word of God says. We are honoring the authority of this country. People get all crazy. Well, I'm not pledging to that flag because I'm a citizen of heaven. Well, that's stupid. You're a stranger in this land and you need to. Why? Because God said to. Honor it. Slaves, he says, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Understand, we don't have slavery. Those of you who went through school, you know that there was a civil war, and at the end of that, there was no more slavery upon the Emancipation Proclamation. We don't want to give you a history lesson here, but we don't have it anymore, per se. How many of you work for somebody and you hate it? Huh? Bunch of liars. Why don't y'all raise your hand and get honest? Like, preacher, don't do that to me. My boss is on the other side of the church. He doesn't like you either. He just feels sorry for you. That's why he gave you a job. Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect. I love this because we can in our time realize there's no slaves, but we do have to fall into submission to others as workers, don't we? That means this: when your boss says to do something within the boundary that doesn't cross over the line in God's Word, do it. Don't talk back. Don't grumble under your breath. Do it and be thankful you have a job. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate. Watch this. But also to those who are harsh. You ever work for that guy? Right? Yeah, I know your attitude, right? Because you're a big shot. But if he just asked me instead of tell me, he's the boss. He can tell you. And here, watch this. He didn't even have to be nice about it. He says, when he tells you to do something, whether he's considerate or he's one of those people that aren't considerate, he said, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. He says this, man, it's good for you to do it because you're conscious of what God thinks about it. Submitting to authority, even when you don't necessarily like the way they said to do things. Could you imagine us getting upset every time we see God command his people to do something? Oh, nobody gonna tell me what to do. Right? God begs and pleads with his people. Stay away from this. Stay away from that. Don't give in to this. It's all for your own good. Remember that. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. He said, man, if you suffered a beating from your master and you were a slave because you were rebellious and because you did have an attitude, children, you might want to listen to this too, because while you're under your parents' roof, you're kind of slaves too. My lawn boy just went to college. It's kind of sad. But he's saying this, man, if you run your mouth and you're beaten for running your mouth, you got what you deserve. How much more commendable is it when you did nothing wrong like Jesus, and then you suffered for it. He goes on, he says in verse 21, to this you were called. This is what you were called to. Remember, we've been talking about how we were called. This is what you were called to, these things that we're talking about. Oh my goodness, this is a part of our Christian calling. Yes, pay attention. It's all in the same context. That little furry thing went away. It's all in the same context of everything that we've been looking at. He says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He had suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He said, listen, they really have no bearing on me. The temporary suffering that I have to endure, it really doesn't matter, because I answer to the One who judges justly, the one true God, my Father in heaven. Y'all pay attention to that. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We're going to talk about our response to authority, but before we do that, I'm going to fix this for all the OCD people who can't stop looking at it. I would just step on it 45 times. It doesn't matter to me. It'll be there when we're done. There's people. So let's talk about this, our response to worldly authority according to the Word of God. He teaches us a few things. There's going to be three of them that we're going to focus on from this passage. The first one is submission. The second one is servanthood. And the third one is suffering. Can we all agree that all three of those things Jesus endured in the face of the authority of this world, even though, watch this, even though He was a greater authority than they could even imagine standing right there before their eyes, He submitted Himself. Watch this, folks. Pay attention. When you think you have rights to run your mouth, when you think you have rights to rebel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords stood there in the face of worldly authority, and He zipped His lip, and He didn't whine about how unjust everything was. He said, look, this really doesn't matter, because this is temporary. What matters to the stranger is the eternal. So as we look at this, please pay attention. He talks to us and teaches us first about submission. Look at verse 13 through 15. We're going to go back through. We're going to break it down again. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Submission to the position of authority, not to the person. How many of you understand that? How many of you have ever been in the military? Raise your hand. In just a minute, we're going to have you. Where's Dallas? Is he here? Oh, he's over there. In a minute, we're going to have you pray for a young man who's about to find this out. It doesn't matter if he likes his boss or not. He's about to have one. And he's going to submit to the one who's in charge, right? How many of you were in the military long enough you saw a couple of administrations? Anybody there? Been through a couple presidents? Here's the thing. Did you like all of them? No, but were they all in authority in your life? Well, sure. How much more so? Jesus standing there, you guys are just military guys. Jesus standing there in the face of unjust opposition. A government who was against Him, a religious group who was very much in control and against Him. And Jesus submitted to their position. You know what Jesus never did? He never popped off to the high priest. Who do you think you are, high priest? You got all this mixed up. You're backward, man. He didn't do that. Why? It wasn't his place to do that. In fact, he knew that it wouldn't bring glory to God if he did that. And so what he did when he was there before Pilate, governmental authority, guess what he didn't do? He didn't say, wait a minute, Mr. Pontius. I wish I would have named my kid Pontius. Could you imagine a kid going all through school with the name Pontius? Would teachers mess that up? Pontius? He didn't mouth off and say, looky here, Mr. Pontius. I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who do you think you are, man? You're just a government authority that my daddy put in place. And you don't treat me right, I'm going to tell my dad. He didn't do that, did he? No, what he did is he submitted to these authorities. Why? Because it's God's will. We saw that just a second ago. It's God's will. It brings glory to God when you shut your mouth. Why? Because that's the opposite of the attitude of the people who live here. The people who belong here. The people who belong here, here's what they think. Watch this. They still think they have rights. We as Christians know this. We don't have rights anymore. Well, yes, I do. No, you don't. You have rights as an American, but I promise you, as a Christian, you forfeited those rights. You are in a strange land that you don't belong in anymore. You don't have rights. Well, I got the right to petition. Well, go on and see if it brings glory to God. But God says His will is that you shut your mouth. Uh-oh. God says His will is that you shut up and you take it. And that you suffer unjustly. We're going to talk about suffering in great detail in a second. But in order to suffer, you first have to submit. Jesus submitted to these authorities so that He could suffer and bring glory to God. So we submit to the position and the authority that's placed in our life by God. So here's what we do. We do what's required of all visitors, don't we? If you're visiting my house, don't you play by my rules? How many teenagers, when you're growing up, you didn't get away with things in Mr. Kirk's house that you might have been able to get away with at Mom and Daddy's house? I let kids know that. Well, it's my house. Take your hat off at my table. That's your first warning. Next time your hat gets knocked off at my table. Don't come to my table with your shirt off. That's almost a death sentence, right? Ask my son how many times he tried to question that authority. Right? So the thing is, in my house, we do, and we live by my rules. Here's the thing. This ain't our house. This is not where we belong, Christian. Please pay attention to that. We've been talking for several weeks that we're strangers. Here's the thing. We've come into a strange land, and here's the deal. We have to abide by the strange rules. It's required. We have to listen to the law. We have to pay our taxes. Right? Huh, believe me, I'm the guy who wants to scream this. Hey, what about separation of church and state, man? I work for the church. How about no taxes? Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I got to remember what Jesus said. I've got to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. You say, well, don't tell me about that, preacher. I know all the tax breaks you preachers get. Yes, we do, and I'm thankful for them. But we still pay taxes. So the thing is, as we look at this, thank you, Lord, for letting the government be generous to us. I don't know how long it will last, but it's nice. Makes us all rich. Not really, it's let me have groceries and eat. So the first thing is submission. Verse 13, he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. Not for your sake. Man, submission's never fun, is it? I deal with this in marriage counseling all the time when I get to the husband and wife part when I'm giving premarital counseling and I'm like, wives? Submit to your husband. Yeah, submit. What an awful word. But here's the thing. How many of you remember the glorious first time you ever saw the value of submitting to Jesus, that day you became a Christian? How many remember that day? When the scales were knocked off of your eyes, the first time He gave you the faith to surrender to Him, and you surrendered to Him in full submission, and you were rewarded with forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and you felt clean for the first time in your entire life. It was the greatest thing that ever happened. Let me tell you, submission is a good word. Do not listen to the liberals. When you submit to the authorities and to the things that you're supposed to submit to, it is a good word. So don't be like these people that every time the government or whoever does something that they don't like, they're burning cars in the street, flipping cars over, and acting fools. Do not do that. Those are ignorant people. Let me tell you this, as a Christian, you do not have a right to do that. Are you listening? It's our job to submit. You can submit to authorities, watch this, without forfeiting conviction. Did you know Jesus never forfeited His conviction? Did Jesus ever sin, y'all help me out? No. In fact, it was important that He did keep His mouth shut so that nothing came out of His mouth that would be interpreted as a sinful. Jesus shut His mouth, He submitted to the authorities, and He did not, in doing so, forfeit any of His conviction. If you just zip it, you're not going to forfeit any of your conviction. When you act a fool, you're going to go against the inner conviction that the Holy Spirit places in you to not act a fool anymore. How many of you used to act like a fool before Jesus saved you? No, only three of you in the crowd this size. You acted a fool when you just tried to lie to me. The thing is, we all have had those times in our lives when we act like a fool. Those times are over. The best thing to do is just be quiet. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus submitted even when it was unfair, even when it was unjust. even when he knew that he had every right in the world, he even said that, could I not call legions of angels to rescue me? But he didn't. Because he longed for his world, for his place, the kingdom that God was raising up through him and through his sacrifice. So the first thing is submission. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of the foolish. If you open your mouth in stupidity, you open your mouth so that others can criticize you. And even criticize you unjustly. If you keep your mouth shut and you submit to the authority, they can say nothing about you. You take away their ammo. Submission. Number two, we see this. Not only is Peter teaching the church about submitting to authority, he's going to take it a step further. And I'm thankful that Jesus gave us this example. You know that Jesus not only submitted to them, but he also served them, and they didn't even notice it. Watch this. Verse 16 says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. How do we serve authorities? Pay attention. Okay? They're not asking you to go to the governor's mansion and polish his boots or wash his car. Okay? Here's how we serve authority. He tells us, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone who? What does everyone mean in this context? Everyone who is in authority. That's the context of this. He says, show proper respect to everyone. So as we look at this, understand something. We serve the government and the authorities that are in our lives by servanthood. He includes with that, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. He's saying, slaves, serve your masters by showing them the respect that's due them. Service out of respect. Man, that's a forgotten thing, isn't it? When's the last time, husband, that you served your wife because you respected her? Husband, when's the last time you served your wife because you respected her? Wives, when's the last time you served your husband because you respected him? Isn't that the whole picture of Christianity? Isn't that the example that Jesus gave us? To lay our lives down as servants for other people. Service out of respect. God shows us this, doesn't he? Didn't Jesus, while he walked this earth, show us by his loving kindness, his meekness, his grace, his mercy, and his respect to authority while he was here with us? Didn't he give us that example that so many times I myself am guilty of not showing? Serve your boss. Serve your boss. Hey, let me tell you what. I'm not telling you to kiss up to anyone. But it'll serve you well if you serve the person who's in authority over you. You go that extra mile. Those of you who own businesses here, how many would say, yeah, a person who goes the extra mile without me having to tell them to do it out of respect for me as their boss, that's the person who stays around longest. That's the person who's considered for the raise first. That's the person who, man, I'm going to help them out when they need help. How many would say, man, that's true. We've forgotten it, haven't we? But isn't that the direction and the example that Jesus gave us of showing respect to those people? Even if every time you go in and above and beyond where you're required to go for that boss or for that authority, they don't even notice it. You keep doing it. Because you're not doing it for them, right? We saw in this beginning of this passage, we're doing this for whose sake? But how many of you have found this out? A lot of times we do things for the Lord's sake and the Lord comes back behind and he gives us residual blessing. He blesses us because he knows that we're doing it for him and not for us. And that's when he blesses us beyond anything that we can even imagine. So respect those people and serve those people. Serve your boss. Watch this. Serve your community. Did you know that there's community around us that we are required to serve? Show respect to the leaders, to the authorities in our community, to the community itself. Serve your country. Dallas is about to go, and he's gonna go, and he's gonna take an oath if he hadn't already done that, but he's gonna go run a whole bunch and do a bunch of push-ups. And the thing is, he's serving his country. And we know right now there's no draft and there's nothing like that going on, but there could be, I guess, at some point in time. But there was at one time, wasn't there? And remember this, remember the people, I've only seen the videos, but remember the people who would burn their draft cards in the middle of the street? That's not the attitude of Jesus. The attitude of Jesus is, my country has called me to serve, therefore I will go serve my country out of respect to the authorities who have called me to serve. That's why I've always had a problem with the conscientious objector. You know why? Because I don't really believe they're listening to God. You listening? I believe they're using God because they're scared. But I saw this good movie and it was neat. He rescued a bunch of people. That's cool. He should have had a gun. He should have went into battle with the rest of the guys. Right? Y'all saw the movie? Y'all thought it was a cool movie. Hey, call a coward a coward. Call a man of God. And I promise you this, a man of God is going to submit to the authority when they call. But God said, thou shalt not kill. He didn't say, thou shalt not kill in any sense. He said, thou shalt not murder. Everybody understand? God led his people into war. He's not talking about war there. Everybody get that? He's talking about cold-blooded murder. Everybody knows that's wrong. Anybody who has any sense knows at some point in time you have to defend what God has given you. And here's the thing. When God calls on people to defend that, be that person who stands up in honor of the authority that's called you, that God placed there, to get out there and defend your country, defend your family, defend someone. You're going to see a little old lady in the parking lot. Some thief's going to be stealing her purse. You're going to walk on by? No, let me tell you this. The law gives you the authority to go help her out. Watch this. I look at that as if I get to whoop somebody for Jesus. Huh? Because that's just, isn't it? I get to take that person and I have that authority as a citizen who's helping out this lady who's definitely in a tough situation. I can help her out. The authority said that I can do that. Why would you just walk on by? Y'all ever been in a situation where you saw a crime taking place and a citizen just watched? Just walked on by? It's a shame, isn't it? It's not servanthood. We got to stop. Because the authority has given us the right to then serve those people. Serve them. Help them. Service. It ought to be the very fiber of your Christian being, shouldn't it? So why would it not be the result of us seeing this passage and saying, you know what, I want to serve the authorities that have been placed over me in this world while I'm here. Show them the respect, because that's where it all comes down to, isn't it? Show them the respect that they deserve. Listen, when all your buddies are talking bad about the president, I don't care who he is or what party he's with, or the governor, or the local authorities, right? I don't get in this political stuff. In fact, it irritates me. Can I just meddle in everybody's business real quick? I think it's stupid. I don't care. Here's the thing. What I don't want to do is I don't want to bash anyone because I've never been that person. So stop bashing politicians. Okay? Here's the thing. I watch Fox News so I can see what's happening. Not what side everybody's on. I don't care. Here's the thing. I'm on Jesus' side. That's all that matters. And if I go around bashing some politician who's in office, guess what? I am living contrary to being on Jesus' side. Jesus didn't bash the politicians of his day, nor the corrupt religious leadership, nor the corrupt governmental system, nor the emperor, or anyone like that. Because he wasn't a fool. He understood, man, this is not the thing to do. Instead, he served them by respecting them, who they were, and the office that they held. Y'all, this is not political, by the way. I'm reading all this out of the Bible, in case you didn't know it. Huh? Man, don't you wish we'd let the Bible straighten all of our political mess? Huh? Some of you strangers would realize, you know what? I don't belong to any party on this earth. I belong to the blood-bought church of the living God who's not going to stay in this corrupt world, who will be rescued one day. So we see servanthood. And this last one's going to seem unfair. I'm going to make it as fast as I can. It's going to seem unfair. Because up until this point, man, I've been a submissive servant to all these authorities. Right? Just as Jesus did. Up until this point, he never did anything wrong. He was a submissive servant to all these authorities. And then, watch this. Verse 19 starts talking about suffering. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. What? So you just told me, Peter, that I'm supposed to submit and I'm supposed to serve, and in submitting and serving, that's going to lead to suffering? I thought it led to me having a bunch of friends. Listen, these are not your people. These are not your people. Are you a child of God? Why would you want to be affiliated with the children of the enemy? So he's saying this, understand, when you submit, when you're a servant even to the authorities of this land, you're still going to suffer unjustly. They're still going to talk bad about you, Christian. You listening? You're still going to be the butt of every joke. You're still going to be somehow alluded to, if not mentioned outright, in every Saturday Night Live skit. Isn't that the way it goes? You're still going to be mocked because you have conviction. You're still going to be mocked because you're even here with us today. And this, listen to this old-timey book that's not even applicable or relevant in today's time. Wow, are you serious? Is this not applicable or relevant in today's time? So we see that our response to worldly authority ought to be submission. It ought to be servanthood. But then we're going to see it's going to lead to suffering. We as Christians have to be willing to suffer for our conviction. You know why? It's a real easy answer, because Jesus did. And not only did Jesus did you know every church leader following Jesus immediately did? And from here on out, even right now in countries that you know not of because you're disinterested in them because your little world hadn't been rocked yet, here's the thing. In those countries, there are people who are suffering unjustly for Jesus today. Some of them being martyred, some of them being tortured. But God's called us to suffer. I know this is not the fun part of this message. But serving, yeah, we can maybe do that. And submitting, we'll do that begrudgingly. But suffering takes it to a whole nother level, Pastor. You know why? Because nobody talks about this in Christianity anymore. They forget. He gave us this whole thing to tell us that Jesus was our example. And Jesus was our example, was He not, of submission? Was He not our example of service? Is He not our example of suffering? Here's the thing. Did you know this? Everyone, this is what the Word of God tells us. The Apostle Paul said this. Everyone who seeks to please God with their life will face persecution. You're going to suffer in this world as you seek God in your life. And watch this. It may come from the authorities. They may tell you, hey, everybody in this country can say whatever they want except the Christian. Or they may not tell you that, but it just may be that way, because that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? But it doesn't give you any excuse to do what you want to do anyway. Because we're here to suffer. We're here to suffer. Sometimes when we're people of conviction, unfortunately, when evil authority is in charge, and let me tell you this, the sovereign God sometimes allows that to happen. And He sometimes allows that to happen, listen to me, I believe, to get your attention. To get your attention. Sometimes He allows that to happen so you can look around you and say, you know what? It's bad. But it ain't as bad as Syria. It's bad, but isn't as bad as Sudan or Afghanistan. To maybe get on your face and say, God, I appreciate you. At least, if nothing else, we still have a country that somewhat has God in it intermingled in the fiber of its existence. Let me tell you something, folks. We're not a godless nation. Listen to me. Stop saying that. You guys are here, aren't you? So watch this. You are the hope. You're the hope. And you know what? You're not going to make a dent in things violating the authorities that have been placed over you. Here's what's going to happen. If you want to bring glory to God, you know how they bring glory to God in other countries? They suffer for Him. Oh, well, time to go, right? Well, about that time. No, they suffer for Him. And we forget, because we're so prone to sit in an air-conditioned building with padded chairs and a cool sound system and all the nice luxuries and the American dream and all those things. We're not willing to suffer. Therefore, we're not bringing glory to God. But what is this saying? He's saying to us that we have to suffer in the face of godless authority. Suffer. And know this, that God's going to commend you for the unjust suffering that you're going to endure. Oh, that's the hope in it all, isn't it? That's the thing. I promise you, I don't mind suffering for the Lord. I have learned through studying in the Word and through in my life, just personal experience, It is a joy when you suffer for the Lord. And let me tell you something. My suffering is nothing compared to things that I have read about others who suffered for Christ. My suffering is nothing compared about Paul, who considered it an honor to know Christ in that kind of way, to be able to suffer like he suffered. Maybe we're not ready for this here. Right? Because I probably just upset everyone's apple cart in this whole building. Suffering for good is a privilege. Did you know that? Did you know that God the Father was pleased that Christ Jesus suffered? You know what pleases God? I believe this more than anything. When you, as professing Christians, abandon everything and say that you're willing to suffer. Does that mean suffering is going to come in your own idea, in your own time? No, it doesn't. But I promise you, God has called every one of you to suffer in the face of the authority that has been placed in this earth. Did you know that the foreign churches pray for us? You know that? You know what they pray? They pray for persecution. It's crazy. I've talked to different missionaries in different places, and they're like, yeah, we pray that the American church would have to face some type of persecution from the authorities so that they understand what it's really about. So that they're tested to see, because they see our easy believism, right? Get Jesus, get heaven, pray a little prayer, join a Sunday school class, and woohoo! So much more than that, isn't it? I mean, if you believe the Bible and you believe what we just read, that Jesus was our example of submission and servanthood and suffering, why would we think that we were going to have to get to miss out on suffering if Jesus himself had to endure some type of suffering? Because suffering is a privilege. Suffering is for the good of the one who's suffering, and suffering is for the glory of God. You say, what do you mean, Kirk? Remember how Jesus suffered? Unjustly. They mocked him, they beat him, they spit in his face, they accused him, they hung him on a cross, they pierced his side. They ripped flesh from his body. They murdered him to death on a cross. But on the third day. You see, that's what's wrong with us. We don't want to suffer because we like instant gratification, and it's got to be good or we don't want it. But when we neglect to suffer as God's called us to suffer, we miss out on the greatest blessing. On the third day, God the Father, through His Spirit, breathed resurrection life into the dead body of Jesus Christ, and He rose from the grave, walked out unscathed by death. Here's the thing. In the context of what we're reading right here, he says, suffer, but your suffering is going to be worth it one day. How many of you understand? One day, those of us who suffer in this lifetime will be raised to new life. We'll meet Jesus Christ in the air with the new resurrected body, and we will spend an eternity with him. What is he teaching us? The same thing he's been teaching us the whole time. This is all just temporary. So because it's temporary, submit to the authorities that are here. Serve the authorities that are here. And when it's due time for you to suffer, listen, suffer as you praise the name of Jesus, knowing that your suffering will only be for a limited amount of time, but you will be rewarded forever. Stranger's response to the world's authority. It's our duty. Why? For the Lord's sake. That's how I started this. You thought it was about you. I'm sorry. Just messed your whole life up, didn't I? Man, comfortable Christianity is so much easier, isn't it? Shouldn't I be bringing you a message about how to deal with stress tomorrow at your stress-filled job? No, I'm privileged that God allows me to bring a message about submission, servanthood, suffering, so that you hear what real Christianity is about, not American Christianity that is going to send groves upon groves of people straight to hell. In fact, some of you who may be here today and you're thinking, this guy has lost his mind. I'll say this, take it up with the Word of God. We just read it. I told you my opinion one single time, other than, hey, sometimes I want to bust people in the face when they do wrong, and that ain't the right response. So what's it going to be, church? What's it going to be? You stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. I understand that today's been a little different kind of message, but you know what I don't like to do? I don't like to piggyback over something just because we get to it and it's not the popular thing to preach. Oh, some of you, you're not even going to realize at this moment in time what you learned today. But you're going to be faced with this. You're going to be faced with this around tax time when your accountant is telling you to cheat the government. You're going to be faced with this multiple times over and over and over as a president gets elected that you're not sure you approve of. You just keep in mind that this, as strangers in this land, we're not in control of any of this, but our God is in control of all of it. And one day He's going to call us home. One day Jesus Christ is going to set foot on this earth to make everything right and set the record straight of who is really in charge, who His children really are. And I don't know about you, but I do know about me. That day I want to be counted among His people. People of submission, a people of servanthood, a people of suffering. Strangers in this land. I promise you right now, if you're not a stranger in this land, this whole message sounded like garble to you. You don't get it. That's okay. I'm thankful that I'm starting to get it. I hope some of you are starting to get it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Kirk, I don't really pay attention to a single word you said this morning, but something crazy is going on in my heart. I feel like God's telling me to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. I feel like God is leading me to cry out to Him for forgiveness of sin. And for some reason, I have faith to believe in my heart for the very first time that Jesus is truly the only way. I want to surrender my life to Him today. If that's you, you say, I need Jesus to save me today. Would you raise your hand for me? Raise it high. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Say, that's me. I need Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord today. Anyone like that? Would you raise it up high? Hold it up for me. Thank you, sir. Keep that up for me. Keep that up for me. Anyone else that says, I need Jesus to save me this morning? Thank you. Anyone else? That's me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to look at me. You believe Jesus is telling you right now to surrender your life to Him? You willing to turn from your sin and turn from yourself? Only He can give you the strength to do that. You're willing to do that? You believe Jesus died on the cross and that He rose from the grave the third day? He might rescue you this very day. What I want you to do with me is this. Watch this. I promise you this. Praying a prayer will not save you. I'm not praying this prayer to save you, and you're not praying this prayer to get saved. When you pray this prayer, what you're doing is you're saying, with my mouth, I'm confessing Jesus Christ as I'm believing in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. You desire that God save you today through Jesus Christ? Would you pray this with me? I want you to pray it out loud. It doesn't matter what you say to me. I want you to say it to Him. I want you to mean it with your heart. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need You to cleanse me and wash me of all my sin. I lay down my old life and I take Your new life. Jesus, thank You for giving me the faith to trust You right now as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank You for loving me. I love You. Fill me with Your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want you prayed to receive Christ. I want you to look at me eye to eye. I want you to do something brave, and I want you to make your way down this aisle. I'm going to get somebody to take the Word of God and talk to you. They're going to meet you halfway if you will. Just walk on down right here. You need to get out. People will let you out. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me this morning? She makes her way. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me this morning? Think that ain't wanting to know what it's like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Thank you for being obedient. I praise the Lord. So where are you, Christian? Where are you? Are you submitting? Number one, are you submitting to the Lord? Number two, are you serving the Lord? Number three, are you willing to suffer for the Lord? Here's the thing. Don't say you're submitting to the Lord and you're not submitting to the things that we talked about today. Don't say that you're serving the Lord and you're not serving in the areas that we talked about today. Don't say that you're suffering for the Lord if you're not suffering the way the Scriptures define for us today that we would suffer. I don't know where you are, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly where you are. And I want you to know this. These altars are open. These folks are down front here to pray with you. You have a prayer need. You have a prayer concern. They're here to pray for you. But allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Allow Him to have His way with you. You're here and you say, Kirk, I know I'm not a believer and I should have raised my hand. And to see someone walk down the aisle pushing a walker and me stand there perfectly okay and not moving has ripped me wide open. I encourage you, grab one of these people and say, I need Jesus to save me today. I promise you this, if the Lord is drawing you to Himself, He will save you this very moment. You'll leave here a completely different person, forever changed by the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But allow the Holy Spirit to have His way to rule and reign in your life today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fear.